The Ticket.
Michigan Insider Podcast is brought to you in part by defense attorney and WTKA legal insider Joe Simon. Find Joe at themichigandefenders.com.
And we are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTKA.com. Sam Webb, Mr. Ira Weintraub on the other side, and joining us as he does every single Monday in this hour, in this the top of the 9 o'clock hour, is the mayor of Michigan Twitter, as we call him. You find him on Twitter at SBell021. Again, at SBell021, a fantastic follow for Michigan fans on Twitter. Also does a newsletter. His name is Scott Bell. Scott, good morning. How are you?
Doing great as always. Thanks for having me.
Man, thanks for joining us. And let's start off with the heavy topic, and like we have, it seems like, the last few weeks, and then get lighter from there. But since you were last on, there was a press conference by some former players, former Michigan students, about the abuse that the transgressions, the crimes that Dr. Robert Anderson committed against them, their belief of the knowledge of at least the accusations to that effect. We've, in response to that, seen some former players come out to defend Bo's legacy. I think there was a letter over the weekend signed by many former players as well. I'm curious, for, you know, as far as the bottom line in your eyes, Scott, what can Michigan do? What should Michigan be doing, in your assessment, just asking for an opinion, that they aren't doing now? Like, I know in one of those press conferences, they were saying they wanted the university, the regents, to turn the investigation over to the attorney general's office. Is that something? What do you think? Is there something that they aren't doing that they should be, in your estimation?
In my estimation, no. I'm far from the foremost expert on this, but it's my understanding that the regents in the school are working toward making sure that these victims are taken care of, and that there are monetary. I mean, obviously, it can't take away what happened, but there's obviously going to be major payouts to victims since those responsible for this aren't really here to pay for their transgressions. But I think there's just, all sides want it to move faster than it's moving. But it's just a frustrating sort of stuck in the mud in terms of, okay, the side wants this to move faster, but that side wants that to move faster. And I don't think there are any sides that are necessarily happy with where things are right now.
Yeah, no doubt. And I just don't think that this is I don't know if this can be a fast process, but, you know, we will see. I figure that we are not anywhere close to the end of more press conferences and responses to press conferences. I just think that's going to be our existence for the not too distant future. But anyway, moving on to happier topics, let's talk about commitment. So on the basketball side of things, the Wolverines added Doug McDaniel. He was the third of three highly regarded point guards to come into Michigan for a visit in successive weeks. You had Jaden Bradley, the five-star. You had Seth Trimble, the rising four-star. And Doug McDaniel, the guy who maybe they seemed like they were the strongest with back in the winter, and then things seemed to die down in the spring. And then, Scott, he came on a visit. It sort of seemed to me like he kind of took stock and kind of realized that, man, if I snooze, I might lose here.
Good for him. I mean, if you're a point guard that Michigan is going to extend a committable offer to you, and if there may be a pecking order, whether or not that pecking order is the order in which those point guards visited Michigan, it being Bradley first, Trimble second, and McDaniel third, you've got a committable offer, and if the people before you want to extend their process, draw theirs out a little more, you get an opportunity to commit, you commit. And McDaniel is a quick, very great ball distributor. I know people, when you compare him to the other two, he is shorter than the other two, and I think Michigan fans might have been excited at the prospect of bringing in maybe a larger point guard. I mean, you look at the team over the last really 10, 15 years, Michigan has had a lot of short point guards, and I think people were maybe a little more excited to have a little more size in the backcourt. But the fact of the matter is, McDaniel's someone that Michigan offered almost a full year ago, and they've been pushing for him throughout that process. So it's kind of a sign of where Michigan's basketball program is right now, where fans might be a little upset that, oh, they only got a solid four-star point guard instead of the five-star or the rising four who may be ranked a little higher than McDaniel. But I think it's a really good problem to have when those are your three choices at point guard for the future.
Yeah, you can say that again, man. Those are what you call good problems, right? What you call good problems. So, you know, definitely picked him up, and then we'll see where things go. I mean, it seems like odds are they're done with those point guards, with what their needs are on the board and what the scholarship picture. While there could be some flexibility due to attrition, some of that flexibility, some of that flexibility would have to come from, you know, waiting to see how some of the younger guys progress this season, which, you know, it might be a case where some guys move on. But I think Michigan is in a position now of focusing more on their bigger needs, more obvious needs in the 2022 class. And then if those point guards decide they want to prolong things, a la Charles Bediako, then I think Michigan would leave the light on for them. We shall see, though. On the football side of things, a couple of commitments, the under-the-radar type that don't really excite the fans as much as the higher-rated guys, but a very intriguing guy in Aaron Alexander with his size-speed combination. And this is a live eval. That is one of the distinctions, a guy that they've watched in person now on a few occasions. And then C.J. Stokes, a running back that, you know, Mike Hart has a pretty good record, and he recruited this guy as vigorously as George Pettaway, and he decided to jump in the fold during Victor's weekend. What do you think of those two?
I think it's hard to complain about either of them in a vacuum. The coaching staff last cycle missed out on the opportunity to really evaluate a lot of these players live. So when you get a commitment from someone that you saw in person and the coaches came together and decided he's someone you want to offer, that should be what you want. So I see no issue with the Alexander commitment, and I think it's good to be bringing in more in-state talent too. And with a running back, like you said, Mike Hart wants him. I don't sit down and claim that me looking at film means more than the coaches, but it's hard not to really like his film too. He looks like a really impressive player. Kind of surprised that he doesn't have more offers and doesn't necessarily have. It looks like an impressive player to me. So they look like two recruits that have upside, could grow into contributors, and those are the types of people you want on your roster when you're trying to rebuild things.
At what point do you, Scott, at what point do you start to get concerned about, the lack of, like, highly rated guys in the fold? Do you think that – are you already there? Are you already concerned? Do you think that process should have gone quicker? I ask that question because you got a lot of fans, a good portion of fans anyway, that are already in panic mode, feeling like this should have been happening already. The big time guys should have been committing already. What say you?
I think it's two separate conversations to have about the micro level and the macro level. I think when you look at things on an individual commitment basis, I think you want those commitments to make sense. So the two you mentioned that Michigan got commitments from over the weekend, neither of those are going to check the box of a quote-unquote big commit, but they both make sense in a vacuum. Now, as those accumulate, if that's what your whole class is going to be made up of, then yeah, I think there's a concern because you're going to need to have some star players. And yes, some of these three-star players can develop into star players, but if your class is going to be all three-star players or projects, your hit rate probably isn't going to be that good statistically. And yes, if you bring in a five-star or a high four-star, they're not necessarily guaranteed to turn into stars either, but you're going to have a better percentage of them hitting. So stars aren't the end all that be all. Analysts make mistakes, players come under the radar or whatever, but for everyone that says stars don't matter and they use these selective examples of, oh, hey, this player was a three-star and he's a Super Bowl MVP now, like, this proves that stars don't matter. No, that's just terrible sample size. So you can look at individual commitments and that star projection may not mean everything, but the fact of the matter is you look at the teams that are in the CFP every year, you look at the teams that are the haves, and these are the schools that are recruiting well, that are getting those big ticket commits. And if Michigan really does want to turn things around, they got to pull in more of these Will Johnson type people and rely on fewer of these sort of project types.
Talking to Scott Bell this morning here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTK.com. So coming on the heels of Victor's weekend, it was Walter Nolan's, this was his second visit to campus as he took a dead period visit, now back officially, or was back officially. And I'm just curious your approach to a guy like that, who in my opinion is number one player in the country. You have some fans who have like recruiting PTSD. Like I just cannot pay attention to a big time guy like that, especially from the South that everyone wants. I won't pay attention to him until they get him. Like, hey, you know, unless until they get him, I think they have no shot. I mean, do you approach it like, what's your approach to a recruitment like that?
In terms of setting expectations, I think it's fine and probably healthy to not expect Michigan to secure a commitment from someone like that. But I think you absolutely need to commit players like that. And even if they don't end up at Michigan, I think there's still value to your brand, to the perception of your program that, hey, if this guy whose finalists are all these Southern powerhouses and Michigan, you're getting official visits from him, you're getting unofficial visits from him, he's on social media tweeting about how great this Michigan campus visit was or whatever, that's going to help the perception of your program. The worst thing Michigan could be is irrelevant. And I know people complain about, oh, well, Paul Feinbaum's talking about this or ESPN's talking about that. And when Michigan plays poorly, they blow that out of proportion more than when another program does. It's annoying when they do that, but the fact of the matter is they're doing that because Michigan is still a very relevant program. And whether something good or bad happens, it's good that Michigan is still that newsworthy, that noteworthy, that everything they're doing has to be mentioned. And the worst thing that could happen with Michigan coming off a poor season is they're just not even in the equation. So is Nolan going to land at Michigan? The betting odds are probably no, he's not. But the fact of the matter is you have maybe the biggest player in the class is down to a select few schools, and Michigan is still one of those schools. And I think that's very important for the long-term health of this program.
Yeah, and, you know, in terms of on-field success, I mean, hey, you know, Michigan and Bama, this is recent on-field success. That they are not in the same group, Michigan and Georgia. Recent on-field success, not in the same group, right? Michigan and LSU, not in the same group, and yet here they are. You know who else isn't in the same group? Nebraska and Alabama's transfer destinations, right? At least.
Oh, my God.
Most of us think that way. Only one that thinks those are comparable is Scott Frost. Scott Frost, who took a shot at Luke McCaffrey for transferring, because, you know, anyone who transfers, they're running away from adversity. They're running away from a challenge. Did you know that, Scott?
I cannot believe, like, there is such competition for most delusional coach, like, in the Big Ten or even in the conference. But, like, Scott Frost, man, he is putting it into overdrive lately. It is insane that just the complete lack of self-awareness that I don't know what's worse, whether he believes what he's saying or if he's purposely trying to gaslight that fan base. But that's exactly what I'm talking about when it comes for the worst thing I want for Michigan to be is irrelevant, because they're going to end up like Nebraska. And the fact of the matter is, Michigan fans are up in a tizzy for how Jim Harbaugh has done, quote-unquote, since he's been here. This past week, I tallied up all the coaching winning percentages for all the Big Ten coaches for how they've done at their current stop. And Harbaugh was third behind Ryan Day and Paul Chryst. And Chryst gets the benefit of coaching in the Big Ten West. And I don't have it in front of me, but I'm pretty sure Scott Frost was 12th at, like, 37% or something like that. Like, it's good perspective for Michigan. Like, if you think it's bad now, holy crap, it could be worse. You could be a Nebraska fan, or you could be one of those fans that actually believe what Scott Frost is spouting out to the fans right now.
Yeah, and for those who missed it, you know, Scott Frost, he said, there's no question it's going to be risky to put your name in the portal. I'll tell you this, it's not supposed to happen, but the ones you really want that are in the portal, they already know where they're going before they put their name in the portal, which is tampering and illegal, but that's the way it's working. At one point, there were 1,100 kids in the portal. There's only 120-some Division I schools in the country, so there could be a lot of kids up out of seat, metaphorically, when the music stops. The other danger part is graduation rates go way down. We had one, so this is the month. We had one leave that's already left the next place he's going and headed to another place, and that's the biggest thing. I think that's going to hurt, is kids don't get their college education because they're moving around trying to chase a little better situation from a football perspective that affects their life. I don't think the pendulum will swing back, though, because every kid who leaves any program thinks they're going straight to Nebraska or Alabama. Yeah. Yep. You know, those are like the two top options. Did you know that, Scott? Nebraska or Alabama?
It's insane. I think Christian McCaffrey got on Twitter, obviously the shade being thrown on his brother Luke, who Scott Frost was kind of throwing under the bus after Luke went to Louisville, but then decided to transfer to Rice instead because it was a better opportunity. And Christian McCaffrey's point, I think, is a really smart one. That's, look at the way the coach you're committing to treats players that he doesn't need anymore. And you commit to a school because you think you're going to be the guy there. But some coaches consider everyone on his team to be part of that team, and others just kind of treat those players that he needs well. And I think actions like this and quotes like this are going to hurt Scott Frost in the future, because if you're only going to really care about the kids that are either starting for you or are on the verge of on the rise up, then you're going to alienate a big portion of that locker room. And I think prospective recruits are going to see through it.
And the other point they brought up is, didn't Scott Frost transfer? That did happen, didn't it?
Absolutely. And it's just hypocrisy at its finest.
All right, switching gears. So, G League camp. So paying attention to this, Michigan fans are, because Hunter Dickinson is in the G League camp. He had himself a good game, a good showing. I think he had like 11 points or something like that. And Devontae Jones, had himself a nice night. 15 points. I think he had like 4 boards and a few assists. I have to pull up the box score. But, you know, both Michigan guys are acquitting themselves very well. But if I'm not mistaken, my understanding is, Scott, the G League camp only few guys, a couple to a few guys, get selected from the G League camp to get to the draft combine. So, I mean, this is still a long road as far as being high on draft boards, it seems, for those guys.
Yeah, it's always a weird time in fandom because are you cheering for what's best for Michigan or are you cheering for the players? But I look at it as it's a win-win situation because either they're going to get some really good experience and some good coaching and bring it back to Ann Arbor next year and hopefully have it pay dividends for Michigan's team, or they completely like blow up and end up earning a spot at the combine and potentially a spot being drafted. And in Hunter Dickinson's case, a spot higher than he would have projected. And specifically at the point guard position, I think you see Devontae Jones, I think it's, like you said, I think 15-5-5 or something. There were reports coming out that he was doing a great job finding his way into the lane and stuff. It gets Michigan fans really excited because that point guard position might have been one of the missing links or one of the sort of question marks heading into next year. But that looks pretty promising if what seems likely is the end result, and that's him probably not getting the combine invite and deciding to come to Ann Arbor next year. But the good thing about this is if one of these players doesn't come back to Michigan next year, it probably means because they completely had a great off season and earned their way into the NBA. And can you really feel bad or be angry about someone that's going to end up realizing their dream? So if you treat it like a win-win, then you probably won't be as miserable, and that's probably the best way to go about it.
All right, Scott, before we let you go, so I'm in closing going to appeal to your professional standards in your other job as the associate sports editor over at the Dallas Morning News. You, my friend, I charge you with killing any sports story that pushes as a narrative Juwan Howard is a favorite to take over the Dallas Mavericks. Can you do that? Can you take care of that, Scott?
I don't anticipate that showing up on our website, but if it shows up on the Dallas Morning News' website, everyone has my permission to flood my inbox and call me a hack.
I hear you. That'll never happen, though. That'll never happen. The Michigan fans will never call you a hack, Scott, because you do such a great job of digging in, finding great stories, finding great content for your newsletter. Tell the folks all about it.
Newsletter is scottbell.substack.com. You can also Google Scott Bell's newsletter, and it comes up there. And as much as I'd love to take credit for creating smart content, I think a lot of the reason that the things are end up being things that people want to read is particularly in the off season, I try to let subscribers, people that drive what that content may be. So going to do a news or a mailbag this week where I'm basically taking your questions and answering the things you want to hear. And hopefully some of those questions come in, end up being inspiration for a whole separate post on itself. So if there's anything you want to read, you want to see explored, don't be shy. Just send me a note. DMs are open. I post my email on Twitter all the time. So I want the people to sort of drive the bus on what's written about, and that'll be the case again this week.
Gotcha. Well, as always, Scott, appreciate your time, man. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. That was Scott Bell, the mayor of Michigan Twitter, and Ira, it sounds like he's like, not on my watch.
I mean, it's fair. Juwan's going to I'm not saying he's going to get associated with the Mavericks job, but Juwan did play for the Mavericks. He played for like half the league, but Juwan's been in some of these places, and he's going to be revered. So I just think what you were basically bringing up was the preemptive strike. right? Like, if he gets one of his reporters decides to, like, you know, file a notebook piece or something, and in there's a mention how Juwan Howard's going to be a part of Mark Cuban's call list, they need to just cut that out, is essentially, because that way they can add the next line, which is a pointless endeavor by Mark Cuban. You could do something to that effect. Editors can insert things like that all the time. So Scott could just write that in. That would be a pointless endeavor. Editor's note.
As Jawad has put forth, according to published reports, he is not even interested in even a conversation. Don't even call me. Not about that.
I'm pretty sure that his name, from at this point in time, his name being mentioned in this offseason is purely, if it does, it would be on the fan side. And that's what happened in Washington. I mean, he played for the Bullets and Wizards, right? So they know his name, and obviously he's having success. Otherwise, his name won't come back up this cycle. And you would hope that they would learn the lesson, at least for the next few years, that his name won't come up during these cycles. But time will tell.
Gotcha. All right, we got to get to a break. Be back on the other side here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket.